Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. It all starts right here, right now, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
What a glorious good morning to you on a beautiful Saturday here in Chicago. Blessed to be living in a two-team baseball town, and both of them are good. In fact, they have never been this good combined when facing each other in a crosstown series. Bruce Levine is my partner. He was there last night. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Bruce. Special time to have these games in a year when we thought we might never get any baseball. We're here. We are. We got these games, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. Good morning, Matt. And indeed, it's the first time since 2016 that both clubs were representative of being over 500 at any point of the year like this. And obviously, the White Sox slipped back and were very bad the second half of that year. It's the first time that these teams are relevant for playoff spots since 2008 in the same season. It's only happened twice in history that both the Cubs and Sox went to the playoffs, if you can imagine, since 1906. So that is in itself, wow, it makes it pretty exciting. Yeah, twice, 1906 and 2008. That's it. Only times that both Chicago teams in postseason. Obviously, a World Series up until 1969 was the only way to get into the playoffs. But since then, it's been tough to find both teams playing well in the same season. So from that perspective alone, it's exciting, and just the truncated season that we're dealing with, and the fact that there is a lot of optimism on both sides makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cubs are the second or third best team in the National League, in my opinion anyway. The White Sox are right there, what, fifth, sixth, seventh best team in the American League right now, somewhere in there. But they both sure feel like playoff teams, especially with the wacky expanded playoffs that we're headed
towards. Wow, you're sure changing the White Sox, aren't you?
You think so?
I think so. I mean, last I looked, they're a half a game out of second and a game out of first in their division. So you don't put them with Minnesota or Cleveland yet.
They're right there in terms of the record. You're right. But I guess I think the Yankees are better. I think both the A's and the Astros are better. Is Tampa better? I don't know. If you give me Tampa,
might be the best team in baseball right now.
Okay. Well then,
Oakland. So you're probably right. But I mean,
fifth, maybe. Yeah.
But very close. The point is, they're playing some great baseball right now, and
yes,
they're getting enough pitching and a tremendous amount of slugging. You wake up today, if you're a Chicago White Sox fan, the Chicago White Sox are second in baseball in slugging with a .473, and they are second in baseball in home runs with 49, one behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. So this is an exciting team to watch. They're in the midst of a six-game winning streak, their second six-game winning streak this season. There's been some downsides, too, where they've lost some games, and gone into some slumps, but this is a good time for the Chicago White Sox, and it's a great time for Chicago fans to be watching baseball.
Absolutely. 24 home runs in their last seven games. They hit six in a game twice in that span. And maybe we should have seen this coming last night. They destroy lefties. And John Lester has not been getting a lot of swing and miss. The White Sox versus lefties, Bruce, are number one in baseball with a 994 OPS and 19 home runs. That leads all of MLB. And I thought this was interesting. They're 15th in strikeouts versus lefties. They're fourth in strikeouts overall. So that tells you something. They make a lot more contact against left-handed pitchers, and Lester has been giving up a lot of contact.
Did anyone notice they struck out 13 times last night?
It didn't feel like it, did it?
No, really didn't. because balls were zooming out of the park, six home runs, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's an incredible night for the White Sox offense. So lots of good things going on in both sides of town. Matt and I are here with you from 9 to 11 every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball with you. We'd like you to chime in on your Sox and your Cubs at 312-644-6767. That's also our text line. Matt will read all that's worthy on the air. Sometimes not worthy, he'll read.
Well, this immediately from Peoria, Matt, that game was embarrassing. Cubs are starting to turn into bum slayers. There's that overall feeling for Cub fans after one game like that. But, I mean, that's an ugly game. It's an ugly one that you never felt like you were in right from the get-go.
Well, I like the fact that it's in your face, north side, south side. We can't get it in the stands this year. Obviously, that is missing. We'll get more into that. I know you wanted to get my perspective of what it was like out there. But in reality, you know, it's just it's a great game to watch on television. It's a great game to listen to on the radio right now. It's a well below average event if you happen to be in the stadium. And luckily, only the media people have to be there to watch that, because it's just, you know, it's missing the most important aspect of sports and baseball in particular, and that is the fans. And without it, it's empty.
This is how you've felt all year, Bruce, and it's I'm sure it was especially palpable last night and this weekend. When I'm sitting at home, and I get the phony sound effects that Marquee is doing very well with. And NBC Sports Chicago, people watching there, I'm sure they're getting it as well. But like it doesn't, only when the camera zooms out, or occasionally I look in the background and I see the nobody, do I really think about it. Otherwise, I end up just kind of watching the game and trying to listen. And most of the camera shots are giving me the ball players and giving me like looks into the dugout. So it feels pretty representative at home. And for you guys at the ballpark, it continues to not feel that way. It's pretty dead, huh?
Yeah, well, it is. And, you know, I listen, you know, at times I'll stay home and watch both teams, not go to the ballpark, because when they're playing at the same time, it's the best way to cover them. But mostly I'm at a ballpark. And when I'm coming in or leaving, if I leave an inning or two and catch the Zooms at home, I'll listen to the broadcasts, you know, with Pat and Ron. They sound just like they did in 2016. Okay, same thing with the White Sox broadcasts with Andy and DJ. They're solid. It feels no different. But when you are in the ballpark and you see those home runs go out, and there's nothing out, no sound if a home run's hit by a visitor, right? And all of a sudden you just hear the clank in the stands. It's so reminiscent of being in Glendale, Arizona, or Mesa, Arizona, during spring training, early part of the year, where you know there's very few fans in the stands. Even the Cubs in early February don't fill up in Mesa. And when that clink goes, it's spring training. But again, it's only for 12 or 15 people. Nobody cares about us. But I'm telling you, as a fan, if you were there with only 5,000 allowed or 7,000 allowed, it would not be as good a product as what you're listening to and watching right now. So great for the TV people, great for the radio people. It's great for us to have baseball to talk about, and relevant baseball here in Chicago.
You know, I wonder if there were 5 or 7,000 people, and I think that remains a dream for parts of September, right? I know the Cubs are still like dreaming of possibly doing that. I see some of the NFL teams have announced, Kansas City Chiefs announced that they're going to have socially distant fans in attendance, like 22% of the capacity of that place. So yeah, teams are starting to do it. Yeah, good luck. I know. But they're going to try to do it. If there's some fans, it might feel okay. But I admit to having the fantasy as I watch these games, like, all right, what if me and my wife could just get in there and just we'll be over there in this section. We'll be the only people in that section. You know, like, who do I know? Let me make a call, whatever. Like, right? Like, get over there and get to a game. That would feel really weird. It would feel really weird. And you would, and so like you guys. But did anybody fill the void for you on Media Row of like the really drunk, loud, vocal, passionate person? There's nobody who can really do that.
There's a couple of them, but we won't name them. I mean, the media people around each other are very sedated as well. I mean, we are very cognizant of the distancing, of wearing masks the whole time we're there, not getting, you know, closer to talk to people, kind of being, you know, not just letting personalities of the people in the press box show, because first of all, you're muffled by the mask itself. You can't really even hear what people say most of the time if you have a good mask on. And the fact is that, you know, people are, you know, we're in a danger zone being around other people in a workplace, just like everybody else that's out there working in an office. And it's not a great 100% good feeling, even though the Cubs and White Sox do a tremendous job of keeping the areas clean, keeping us distanced, making it a safe environment and a friendly environment. But it's not one where you're 100% feeling like this is a normal season. You're in a normal press box. You have your normal camaraderie between you and the other people that you work around. It's just totally, totally different.
A lot of people worried about Javier Baez on the text line, Bruce. You know, it's he's having a rough go. I feel like maybe he misses Joe Maddon a little. They had a thing, you know, they really did. Maddon got Javi to look opposite field and wait that extra split second and not take out the driver on every pitch. It Maddon and Javi had a really special thing. I think he might have made a difference in his head a little bit.
Yeah, it's been difficult to watch him and Bryant in their offense this year. It really has, even before Chris was hurt, and he also had an elbow situation earlier. So I don't know if he's been 100% most of the year, but they just haven't had they haven't looked like themselves at all. Okay, Javi looks like the 2014 version that was on pace, you know, to strike out 40% of the time, and eventually started the 2015 season in the minor leagues, much to the chagrin of Joe Maddon, who fought for him to be on that team. Eventually came up pretty soon, but he's just not using the whole field. He doesn't look comfortable up there, and you don't see obviously, I guess, the same energy out of him because he's not doing much out there. You know, he's playing his usual great defense at shortstop, but you know, there just seems to be a vibe missing there, and I guess that you can say that about any player who's not performing offensively.
No, I think you're right, though. You can see it and feel it, because that's the thing about Javi, is usually the energy is just absolutely crackling, and he's one of the sparks of the whole thing, and it does seem to be missing, and I'm sure he's despondent about the way he's been playing. You do see that energy from Rizzo. You do see it from Wilson Contreras these days. So, you know, it's just definitely something that's missing there in the elements.
I wonder about... Matt, when you bring that up, I wonder about the entertainment value of how important that is to players like Javier Baez, and how much they do feed off of the crowd, okay? Mm. How much that is a driving force, and how much that is missing for some of these players when they're out there. I know it has to be impactful for almost all of them, but you know, getting that own energy from yourself out there without fans being there, you know, it's one that I have to ask, you know, coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting because Javi has always had a special relationship with the crowd, and there's a give and take. Even when he's hurt just a little bit, like twists a knee, he'll kind of take his time coming back, and the crowd is worried about him and then excited. There's a relationship there, you know?
No doubt.
It's an interesting thing that you notice for sure. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number to call and to text, all in one. Get involved. So you can text us, you can call us. And Bruce, a couple of guests coming up later on in the show. Tell folks about them.
Yeah, Ron Coomer, who does a great job for us on the Cubs pregame with Pat Hughes doing the games along with Zach Zaidman, will join us at 9:30, 10 o'clock. Ryan Sweeney from the Marquee Network will join us, doing a great job analyzing there. And we might have a couple surprises along the way, but your input is always important at 312-644-6767. That's a tease, you know, the one where... you know, the radio host teases it and never comes through.
That's well, you know, usually fans, I don't think they remember that. I don't think anybody's going to be texting at the end of the show saying, what about those surprises you said might be coming? What about
you don't
those?
You don't read my Twitter account then.
I tweet what you send, but not what people send to you. I loved what Lucas Giolito had to say on Friday or on Thursday night leading into the series, saying that they were excited, they were looking forward to it, and that the talent disparity wasn't really there like it has been in previous years. The White Sox feel like, in terms of talent on their roster, that they have caught up to the Cubs. Offensively, with all those skill guys, I think it's fair. It's different kinds of talent, but it's fair to say. Pitching-wise, in terms of starting pitching, it's probably fair to say that they've caught up. Have they caught up overall in talent, the White Sox, to the Cubs, Bruce?
Yeah, I don't know about starting pitching yet, okay? And again, after watching Lester last night, you know, that wasn't good if you're a Cub fan. But in general, you know, when you throw out Lester, you throw out Hendricks and Darvish, that's a top three that's pretty good. You know, the rest is evolving. Mills has had his fair share of good outings. Chatwood before he got hurt as well. Hopefully Quintana is going to be back next week. The White Sox are evolving, and Lopez will get the start today. I think it'll be a very short start. I think probably, my guess is 3 innings, 60 pitches, somewhere in that area, with a piggyback of Gio Gonzalez coming in after him. I think that's how it'll break down today for the White Sox when they go up against Hendricks today. Yeah, so from that perspective, I still think after Giolito, and after Keuchel, Cease was very encouraging the last time out. We'll see him Sunday against the team that formally controlled his contract and signed him originally. That's going to be interesting. I think, you know, again, I will go back to saying what I said all winter and into spring training and summer camp, and that is, as Lopez and Cease go, so will the White Sox chances of going deep into a playoff run. So I still think that's where it's at right now.
Yeah, it's fair. Darvish and Hendricks are established, very, very solid top of the rotation guys, and very different styles. Giolito and Keuchel, pretty similar in terms of where they are right now, differing pedigrees, and we could parse all that if we want. But after that, you mentioned all the Sox hopes and concerns. For the Cubs, I thought Tyler Chatwood looked great, and then even in the start where he got hit around, I wasn't that discouraged. But now he's hurt, and we'll wait for him to come back. Chatwood is scheduled to throw a bullpen today. You mentioned Quintana, who threw 28 pitches in a simulated game yesterday. The guy to talk about and figure out is Lester. 9 hits and 3 2/3 last night, 8 runs. He's given up 13 runs in his past 2 outings. The ERA has gone from 1.06 to 5.06. Is this regression for Lester back to, you know, where he might be, or can he recapture what he had those first 3 starts?
I think Lester alluded to that he's given up all of his runs except one via the home run this year. Hmm. All the runs he's given up. So seven home runs he's given up. All the runs that they've scored off of him been via home run, except for one run, according to Lester. That is a concern. You know, I mean, you see, for the first time, only the second time in his career, giving up four home runs in a game. So that's a concern. You know, again, the John Lester of now, the John Lester of old, he's kind of reinvented himself, and the command has been excellent. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball this year early on, but you wonder if that can fall apart, you know, for a control command pitcher like he is right now. But, I'm not a guy that bets against John Lester. You know, there's so much baseball IQ to go along with the stuff that he's had over the years. So I think he'll figure it out. A bombing team like the Chicago White Sox, probably the worst medicine that John Lester can get, and give the White Sox tremendous credit for taking advantage of it yesterday.
Yeah, they are a terrible matchup for John Lester. They absolutely are for this version of John Lester. Well, trade deadline is approaching. We'll see what the Cubs do. I think they might need a starter. We'll have to see. It depends on what Quintana can come back and do for you, I suppose.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, we're going to have to take a break here. Ron Coomer coming up. Ryan Sweeney at the top of the hour. Your call is always at 312-644-6767.
And saving all your texts, which we will get to, about Eloy's homer, whether it's ever come down, Abreu's second home run we want to talk about a little bit in case people tuned out and missed it. There was something compelling there. Lots of your interaction all morning long right here on Inside the Clubhouse. Ron Coomer is next with him, Bruce Levine, and me, Matt Spiegel, right here on 670 The Score.
Chicago sports starts its day the Mullion Hall way. Mullion Hall are first to let you know what happened with your favorite Chicago team last night.
Every morning I look forward to putting on the radio, driving into work.
Trust Mullion Hall with your Chicago sports. Mornings 5 to 9.
You guys really are the best.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's number one sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago sports station.
Eloy Jimenez, the batter. He drives one in the air, deep left center. This is going to be a long home run. Eloy Jimenez with his ninth of the year, and it's the fifth home run for the White Sox, and they now lead 9-0. Jimenez with 20 RBIs. It is his sixth home run in his last 10 games.
That is Eloy Jimenez with his ninth home run. That was a very, very long one. 460-some, I do believe. And Bruce Levine, you had mentioned before the show that Eloy Jimenez was asked before the game if it was still special. Obviously, it is special. A guy who grew up in the Cubs organization to come back to Wrigley. He was asked if he kept anything from last year, his first time back when he hit that memorable home run off Jose Quintana.
Well, you can see it on my face.
Well, you kept the smile.
I have everything. I have the ball. I have the bat. I say the batting glove. I have pretty much everything I use that game.
So he's got everything, Bruce, from that game last year. It's obviously important to him, and he seems to put together good at-bats every time he's at that ballpark.
Yeah. No hard feelings, right? I mean, I love the driving force and admitting to it of a guy that's been traded from one organization to the other. And regardless of the fact that they got back a great pitcher in Quintana, just the idea that, hey, how could you trade me? I'm going to be one of the great players and I'm going to make you pay for it. And that's, Eloy doesn't back away from it. He doesn't hate it. He's not a hater. He doesn't shy away from the fact that this is a driving force for him every time he faces the Cubs. I'm sure a lot of other teams feel the same way, though, because at some point in this guy's career, he's going to hit somewhere between 45 and 50 home runs and might be on a regular basis.
Yeah, Eloy is absolutely on fire. And Eloy is, in his last seven games, 11 for 27, four homers, seven RBIs. And it's just that easy power stroke. I mentioned the sixth home run, Bruce, that Abreu hit. Who was it who went high and tight? It was Adam. It was the new guy. It was Jason Adam. Went high and tight on Abreu. And that next pitch, I'm thinking, all right, so is he going to go slider away, try to get him reaching? No, he tried to catch him with a fastball right down the pipe. And Abreu is just such a badass. Just like, okay. And he hit that one, I think 470 something. Just demolished a fastball down the middle after falling to the ground on a high and tight fastball. He's one of the very good veteran hitters on that team that the kids can watch and learn from. Times like this, when they hit home runs, they look like a really good mix, those White Sox. They really do.
You don't fool too many major league hitters in 2020 with a fastball down the middle. that just doesn't – I mean, if there's anything that people are hunting on, it's certainly the fastball in the zone right now these days. There's when you look at on-base percentage – slug and OPS being king and batting average being pretty much ignored, you know that these people are hunting OPS all the time. They're up there.
Yeah, no, I absolutely, and they're getting it done. Absolutely getting it done. Are those Chicago White Sox? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Bruce Levine is him. Matt Spiegel is me right here on the Score. You mentioned Kyle Hendricks later on today against Reynaldo Lopez in what could amount to a very short stint. It's been short stints for Gio Gonzalez as well. So them as a natural double up would make a lot of sense.
It does. I mean, because you know, Ross would probably be very cognizant of it. So his lineup might be based around more right-handed hitting because you're going to see maybe a Gio Gonzalez for the lion's share of the game. From that perspective, if you think that Lopez is only going to go two or three innings max on his way back here. So it's kind of a funky way of preparing for a team with your lineup on a day where you know he's going to go right-handed then left-handed real quick.
Mm-hmm. Our next guest is ready to join us and joins us now on the Apomani Ford Hotline. Apomani Ford is in Melrose Park.
The fantastic color commentator on Cub baseball that you hear every day on the Score. Our good friend Ron Coomer, nice enough to join us on our Lucy line. And good morning, Coombs. That was a game to forget about yesterday for the Chicago Cubs, wasn't it?
Oof. I guarantee you your show is much more entertaining than what if you were a Cub fan last night. I know that.
Well, you're giving us too much credit.
But good morning, Brucey. Maddie,
morning.
Good.
Hey, Ron.
It was a struggle last night. Johnny, you know, as I've been listening to you guys, and when you face a young team that's hot, like the White Sox are swinging the bats, and they've got a lot of confidence right now after winning five in a row and then yesterday, you know, winning their sixth, you can't make mistakes in the zone, especially early in the ballgame because their confidence level's high. Johnny was spinning some cutters, and they just – you know, he kept throwing a ball in the middle of the plate. He was trying to backdoor a cutter to the righties. It kept floating to the middle, and they didn't miss. And to their credit, they didn't miss. I mean, that's the whole thing is, you know, you can't miss your pitch, and the White Sox didn't yesterday. And they're a talented young group, that's for sure. And, you know, I think they've had their ups and downs a little bit. Even the guy that threw last night, Keuchel, talking about some of that, about his own team. But that's common when you're dealing with young players. They're going to have their ups and downs. But boy, when they're hot, they're really hot, and they showed it last night.
Yeah, when the home runs go, then the White Sox are going to go. It's just that's how they're built. That's how they're going to roll, and that's a lot of teams in baseball. I've been so impressed with Lester Coombe, and so I'm trying to figure out where we are. But I think you touched on it, but just as we look long term at what Johnny can do the rest of this year, were the shape of his pitches, the movement of his pitches, was that okay last night? Was it more about the spots and can he find at least a medium as opposed to what these two starts have been, if not the three great starts that preceded it, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, for everybody that's getting up in age, Maddie, you have some good, you have some bad, you know, the idea of thinking you're going to have great command every single night out isn't going to be the case. And John really never got to the point where he could establish his cutter in on some of these young hitters because, you know, he was missing and he, you know, got behind in the game. And the other thing I thought he never was able to establish was anything off speed. anything slow. And I thought going into the game with these young guys swinging the bats, that was going to be the key. The slow curveball, changeup, something slow had to get into the game plan early. Really never did. And, you know, I look at John and I when he's got his command on both sides of the plate, he's fine. When he doesn't, like a lot of guys, he's going to get hit. And, you know, last night he got hit. I'm not overly concerned about Johnny. I like Bruce's comment. I wouldn't be betting against John Lester too often. He's been pretty good track record.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer. You'll hear him tonight on the pregame show starting at 6:15 with Zach Zaidman. Then the call of Chicago Cub baseball here on the Score at 7:15. Cubs and White Sox starting today at 7:15. Coombs, when you look at the Cubs offense right now, what concerns do you have? I mean, I know that they've been, you know, I've overheard the term grinding out at bats. Okay, yep. I kind of had enough of the grinding. They are a resilient team. They are a team that does just enough to win. But I think making some contact a little bit more as far as batting average goes. I know it's something that people don't like to talk about anymore because we're in the OPS era. But making a little bit more contact might be the key for them other than the slug.
Well, you're right, Bruce. What I had in the last series against the Cardinals and all those games and the Milwaukee series, you know, back to where they were a while ago with a lot of strikeouts. And, you know, David came out and said, I'm not overly concerned about the strikeout. You know, that's not something we've got guys that hit the ball out of the park and do that. Well, I understand that. And that's definitely a fact with certain guys in your lineup. But the periphery guys that aren't the core of your boppers right in the middle, those guys need to put the ball in play. They need to understand situational hitting and they need to be able to do all those things if you're going to be good. And I really felt like the grinding at bat comments that were made over and over and over in the last week and a half sometimes might have overtaken the actual game plan of what you're trying to do as a hitter. You know, and if we want to see so many pitches in an at-bat, that's great. But when you get to 2-0, 3-1, and you get a fastball in the middle of the plate, instead of taking another pitch, maybe hitting a double might be better for the team.
Right.
And that's what I saw. I saw a lot of 2-0 takes. I saw a lot of 3-0 takes. And I saw a lot of 3-1 takes on fastballs in the middle of the plate. We also saw a lot of takes in yesterday's ballgame against a guy like Keuchel. On fastballs right down the middle in the first pitch. Keuchel's M.O., and I watched film on him going into yesterday's game, his M.O. was strike one and then expand. So he was throwing a good pitch over right away, and then he expands the zone and keeps you chasing farther and farther out if he thinks he can get you to continue to chase. So I understand the idea, and I like the idea in theory of the grinding at bats or long at bats, and all those are great things. But at the end of the day, what's the goal? The goal is to score runs, right?
And, well, and contact, Coombs. I mean,
right.
Matt, the same thing. They're the most unproductive out, a strikeout. The Cubs are averaging 10 strikeouts per game, a tad more. That means, you know, 40% of your at bats are unproductive, totally unproductive, with no chance of moving a runner or scoring a run.
Yeah, and guys,
they're second in baseball in strikeouts.
And when you think about that, I always look at the way the game gets played during the season, and then the way the game gets played in October. Well, if you're going to be a 10 strikeout average team during the regular season, when you face the best pitching, you're probably looking at 4 or 5 more per game. When you're striking out over half of the outs in a game come playoff time, you're going to have a heck of a time winning. So that, to me, those things, you have to start shrinking that number. And guys need to understand when you're ahead in the count, that's time for the bat to be in motion. You know, some of the boppers in the lineup, let's go ahead and swing and let's take advantage of this nice weather at Wrigley Field and hit a couple on the street.
Hey, Coom, consider me guilty as one of the guys who talks about the grinding at bats, you know? It's like, because
there's nothing wrong with it, though.
But
it really
But it's baseball, is what you're saying. It's baseball. Like, once you know, I mean, the poster child for the grinding at bats might have been Ben Zobrist the past couple years, but how often did we see him come up and try to ambush, look for that first pitch fastball and try to hit it out of the park or hit it real hard down the line? You got to know when to do that, right?
That's exactly right. The game, the great baseball players understand the situation of the game. And you don't have to be a superstar to be a great baseball player. What you have to be is a winning player. And when you're a winning player, you understand the situation of the game and what the team needs. There are times in a game where you need, you know, four or five guys in a row to have real long at-bats and see pitches and wear out the starting pitcher. There are also times when a guy's not going to throw a lot of pitches. Hey, he's gonna have command and be around the plate all day. If you see a pattern, go ahead and take advantage of that. And so that's a winning player. And I think right now the Cubs are in a little bit of, you know, that gray. They're not exactly sure as an offense. Are we swinging on 2-0, or are we just gonna take and let's you know, see if we can see two or three more pitches? Sometimes you got to be aggressive too, and I think they lost just a little bit of that here in the last week.
So the two most important players for the Cubs offense this year have seemed to be Ian Happ and David Bodie. What do you look at? I mean, obviously Bodie doesn't have a high batting average, but when it comes to the game being on the line and huge at bats, nobody's done better than Bodie and Happ. What do you see for these two guys as far as improvement and the way they've embraced big points of ball games this year?
Well, the one thing with Bodie is I think there's a hunger there to want to play more. And he's a talented kid, and he's a very strong kid. So when he puts the bat in his hand, he's extremely dangerous at any time. He clicks on one, it's a home run. The more he understands what teams are trying to do to him as a hitter and the more he plays, I think the better he's going to be as an offensive player. And he'll have to make the adjustment once teams make a switch to him a little bit. But I'm impressed at the way he can handle the late innings of a ball game. He's done it, right? And Pat even brought this up and asked me the question on the air the other day. You know, is it the more you do it and you're successful at it, the better you become at being a late inning hitter? And I'm absolutely the confidence factor. And when you see certain guys come to the plate late in the game, you're just like, if you're the opposing team, you're like, let's just walk him and let's let somebody else do the damage because we know he's going to do something big. I think Bodie can get to that level because he's got a lot of confidence in that spot. So he's one of those, the guy that I'm really impressed with and quietly, you know, he doesn't say a lot when he's on the field. He's saying a lot on social media and his podcast, but is Ian Happ. I think Ian's one of those guys that Bruce and Matt, when he got sent down to the minor leagues, I think that was like the most shocking thing in the world to Ian, that he wasn't going to be a big league ball player and he's going to the minor leagues again. And I think after the shock wears off, which every player goes through the stages of shock, extremely upset and mad, and then you get down there and you start playing for a week and you go, okay, am I going to continue being mad or am I going to fix this problem and look in the mirror and then get back to the big leagues and be a productive big league player? Well, I think Happer did that. He lays off the high fastball. He's having the grinding at bats, Matt, that you're talking about, but he's also been aggressive when he needs to. And I think he's another one of those guys that's really hungry. He wants to be one of the guys that's a key player on a team. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him lay off pitches that he didn't in past years. And I see him focusing on in his work in center field, you know, in batting practice and that. So I'm really impressed with his work ethic and his ability to look in the mirror and go, I need to fix this. And he fixed it. And now he's having a lot of success.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to him a week and a half ago or so on The Score, and he said his two-strike approach was a big thing that he has brought with him. He's got a little bit of Anthony Rizzo in him now with the two-strike approach. Hey, Coom, I wanted to ask you about Kimbrel, because I think they did it. I think they figured out, as you were talking to me and to explaining to people, the mechanical issue. And it's now three appearances in a row where that high fastball, first of all, it's high. He's not throwing it right over the heart, you know, in the middle. Mm-hmm. He's throwing it at the top of the zone. And it sure looks like it has that ride, that carry that you dream of. I don't know if the knuckle curve is as vicious as it was during his heyday, but the four-seamer looks awfully good. I think they figured it out with him.
Well, they're getting there. I don't know if everybody is in the camp of it's fixed and let's roll, including Kimbrel. I think for all of us, when we play and you have great success and then you have some struggles, you're still questioning yourself a little bit. But boy, I see a calm guy on the mound now. I see a guy who's not, you know, his heart rate's not going 800 miles an hour, and he's calmed himself down. He's able to command his fastball and get on top of the baseball, which I thought, because of the adrenaline rush, he was driving off the rubber and his arm couldn't catch up. And that's where that flat fastball comes from for me as a hitter, not as a pitching guy, but as a hitter. That's what I saw. And then the breaking ball, when that happens, it doesn't have the same tilt going down. But I see a guy who's on top of the baseball and throwing through the ball, as David talks about, and getting that carry. When he gets, you'll know when he's really comfortable is when you start seeing that really big biting breaking ball. Mm-hmm. Because right now I think he's still a little tentative with his breaking ball on throwing it as hard as he can, because there are occasions where he holds on to it and he pulls it way over into the left-handed batter's box. So I think he's trying to hedge his bets a little bit with the breaking ball and go, I'm just going to throw the little baby curve and get it over for a strike. And then throw my 97 because I got command of that now. And that's just being a good pro, right? I mean, that's being a good professional pitcher. And I just like what I'm seeing now. Well, hopefully it continues for him and the Cubs, but I'm seeing a lot of change and good change.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer. You'll hear him tonight beginning in the pregame show with Zach Zaidman at 6:15. Pat and Ron will have the call at 7:15 on The Score. Thanks for taking some time out, as always, buddy. You know, it's great to have you on, and you break things down as well or better than anybody. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you at the ballpark.
Well, I listen every Saturday morning, so I might as well be on with my coffee. So what the heck. Have a great day, guys. I'll see you at the ballpark.
Thanks, right, Coom. Cooms. That's Ron Coomer here on 670 The Score. Ryan Sweeney from the Marquee Network at the top of the hour. We have that cut from Dallas Keuchel that Coom was just referencing. We'll hear it when we come back right here on Inside the Clubhouse on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think we just kind of rolled in, how we were hitting, how comfortable we were. So just kind of continued and nothing really surprises me anymore with this team. So, you know, you can't say enough about some of these guys who are working hard and making adjustments in game, and it's showing.
That's Dallas Keuchel, who pitched awfully well for the White Sox last night. He was vocal about a week and a half ago or so, Bruce, about some at-bats he thought were not professional, some overall play he thought could use a little tightening up. And there he is, vocal last night about his team having a lot of good at-bats and playing awfully well on offense. The Cubs Sox series on The Score is presented by Xfinity. Xfinity XFi delivers blazing fast Wi-Fi with no curveballs.
So the ascension to being a very good team from being a mediocre or bad one is all about the addition of people like Keuchel, the addition of people like Encarnacion, the addition of people like Grandal. These are the finishing touches on pieces of rebuilds like the White Sox are going through that take you to the next level. It's about their talent on the field, no doubt, Matt. But it is more importantly about having been there, done that, been on championship and playoff teams, knowing what it takes, and not being afraid to convey that message anytime, any place, in front of anybody, including your teammates and media and fans. In other words, stand up and be counted for, be a professional, do your job every day. That's a part of being a champion. And Keuchel, to his credit, said that, did that, and has performed up to that as well when he's on the field. Now, if you're a player that can't perform or is underperforming, it's hard to get that message out. But the professionalism of going to work every day and that work ethic, that's why you bring in veterans like these guys to help complete your rebuild and make you a competitor or a contender for a number of years.
Yes, absolutely. And then it's up to the existing players, the core of the team, to have the willingness to hear it and respond. James McCann took it well. Tim Anderson took it well and responded well at the time. And they continue to respond well. This is Tim Anderson from yesterday on The Score with McNeil and Parkins talking about the feeling of the team and if they feel like they are as good as the Cubs right now.
Yeah, it's always love from the South Side. You know, the ultimate goal is to beat them. And not feel sorry about it. So we're just gonna go out. You know, nothing different, nothing changed. They're just another team as well. You know, they just happen to be across town. But yeah, they're human too, man. They put their pants on just like we do. And I think tonight is the night to show who got the bigger pants. So we're just gonna continue to keep playing, man. And we're not gonna treat them no different from anybody else. You know, we got the same approach, and, you know, we ain't scared of nobody. You know, just because of the name, that don't mean anything. Like I said, they're human, too.
That's Tim Anderson from McNeil and Parkins yesterday. So far, the White Sox have the bigger pants, one game in to the series. It's inside the clubhouse here on The Score. He's Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. We'll come back, talk to Ryan Sweeney of the Marquee Sports Network next, right here on The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Cubs manager David Ross.
The most important thing to me is my players' health. I think we're not going to be very successful if we have a lot of guys going down with injuries. So getting guys off their feet, playing your bench guys, getting those guys at bats, using the totality of the team is important.
Lawrence Holmes noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.